Welcome to the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast, brought to you by Proudmouth. I'm your host, Matt Halloran. Being your own loud is not new to marketing, but the mindset, strategies, and resources to help you get there are evolving faster than this industry is keeping up. It is time to find a new perspective on what works, why, and how to move your business forward. Listen as I interview guests to help you learn from them how to be your own loud. Let's get to the show. Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Halloran. Today, our guest has been on this show fifth appearance. There's only one other person who's been on the show as many times as our guest, Bill Cates, and that's Kirk Lowe, the co-founder of Proudmouth. When we first started, Bill did a three-part referrals mini-series with us, and then very recently, episode 400, early 400s, he came back on to talk about another program, and today we're going to get wicked tactical with his new book, The Language of Referrals. Bill, welcome back to the show, dude.
Hey, it looks like the bribes are paying off. You're having me back.
I'll take your bribes whenever you want to give them, dude. All right, so listen, I don't know if our audience knows this, but you've actually published a lot of books, right? That's actually part of your brand, part of who you are and how you educate people. Why did you write another one, especially on referrals? Because, dude, how many books do you have on referrals already?
Let's see. I've got four on referrals, sorry. And then my book, Radical Relevance, is more on the value proposition. My wife told me I needed a hobby. Now, I did try retiring about a year ago. And I have too many good ideas. At least I think they're good ideas anyway. Yeah, so here's what I found. And anybody listening knows this, you know this, that if we don't feel, if we aren't clear on what we want to do, what we want to say, a vision of where we want to go, all of that, if we don't have the confidence and the clarity, then the strategy isn't available to us. And that's what I found with referrals and introductions, that because people don't have the confidence, they're not quite sure what to say, how to do it, how do I say it without looking like that cheesy referral guy, then the strategy, which is a very viable and effective strategy, isn't accessible to them. So I got super tactical with this, and I'm telling, you know, somebody said, so Bill, you're putting words in my mouth? And I go, yeah, I'm putting words in your mouth. Now, you can adjust them for your personality and your style and your clients, but when you know what to say, or pretty dang close, then you get the confidence and then you're more likely to do it and then produce the results. So that's why I wrote the book.
One of the things that I used to do when I was a coach was actually scripting was a huge piece of what the value proposition that I brought to my clients. And it always was, I would go ahead and give them the words to say, and then they would make them their own. Listen, setting clear expectations, not only as from a coach to a financial advisor, but an advisor, especially to their clients, to set the stage of referrals is the reason why your systems work. You help advisors set very clear expectations about the want, the desire, the need, and all of that for referrals. Is that a fair statement?
Sorta.
Ooh.
So I believe that the expectation is mostly the part one of the book is the inner language of referrals and our self-talk and what we say to ourselves. And so I do believe the inner language does need to be that of expectation. I like to call it confident awareness. We're confident in the value we bring. We know that we do a good job, bring important value to our prospects and clients. And then we become aware of other people in their lives. And so we can bring an attitude of expectation. However, I think you have to be very careful about making it seem like an expectation to the client. Now, you can introduce it in ways that encourage, that I often say plant the seeds, and we can give you some of those as we go. And it creates a culture. So it's a culture of introductions. But we got to be light on that expectation, because that starts to, if you have someone who's had a bad experience around referrals / introductions, then that could start to hurt a little bit. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because there is a distinction there.
Before we get into all six parts, you just talked about one, which is the inner language. Let's talk about the difference there, because you and I are huge language people, right? So I just said referrals, and then you said introductions, and that's a big part of something is a distinction that you like to make. So elaborate on that, please.
Yeah, so you probably heard me say referrals / introductions, things like that. So yeah, there is a difference in my mind, and I think we always want to use the word that represents what we really want. So We know that the referred lead, call George, use my name, just doesn't work very well anymore. George doesn't pick up his phone, doesn't know who you are, is wondering why his friend gave your name out, all of that, right? So these days, we've got to get connected. We got to think about getting introduced, getting connected. So while you will hear me use word referrals, it still creeps into some of the things I talk about. Part of it's old habits die hard. Part of it's the word introductions doesn't always fit, and you'll see how that goes when we do it. But here's the big but. When you're with a client, when you're with a prospect, when you're with a center of influence, anyone who has the ability to connect you with someone, use the word introductions and perhaps connect connections. How would you like to connect me with George? Let's talk about how you introduced me to George, because that's what you want. And you're not done. The conversation is not done until you've arranged for the introduction.
Well, okay. So I was going to try to be smooth there. Swing and a miss. I know, dude. I was trying to figure out how I was going to bridge that into the six areas here.
You smooth.
Okay. So inner language, you just talked about that a little bit. And then the second one is referable. Yeah,
just say it.
But dude, I want to actually spend a little bit of time on these six things, because the process that you have created here surrounding the language of referrals is a process. And I don't think that people really understand that the structure is as important as the language, because here's the deal, right? Even though I'm going to poke you in the eye, because I actually haven't even bought a copy of your new book, which I'm sorry, but you sent me a signed copy. What? Did send me a copy, a signed copy, actually, of Radical Relevance. And there was like a toolbox in that. And you're doing the same thing here. So take those two things, the six components that we're talking about, the actual six areas, divisions of the language of referrals, and this toolkit. Take it away.
I've got nothing to say about that. No, I'm just teasing you after all that big workup. All right. So the toolkit, real quick. So the deal is, you're getting more than just the book. You're getting the toolkit, the language referrals toolkit. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, I wanted to make sure the book was of a size that people would actually read. And if people don't read it, does nobody any good, right? Okay, if they buy it, I make 50 cents, but big deal. I want people to read it and use it. And so it's got to be of the size that it's very accessible in that regard. And I have a lot more ideas, material, guides, checklists, some other scripts, some video role plays, a success guide. I don't like to call it a workbook. Nobody likes to work. So it's a success guide that goes along with it. So when you get the language of referrals, then you get access to the language of referrals toolkit. So you get a lot there. There's a lot of value, hopefully. Now, the six parts. All right. So the first one, and these are the strategies, and then how the strategies play out in the book become the tactics. So the strategies are, I'll go through those really quick. The inner language, your mindset. Very important that your self-talk is productive and not hindering your ability. The second part is the language of referral. I'm sorry. Hello. You make me nervous, Matt. What can I tell you? The language of becoming more referable, super referable. And I was doing a live presentation with a group, and I said, you got to become more referable. And the guy said, you just talked about referrals, introductions. Don't you mean introducible? I go, well, yeah. But see, that's one of those words a little harder to say, right? So we just use referral. So you got to be referable. And so we give a bunch of language around that. We can backtrack to that if you want. Then the language of promoting and encouraging introductions. For instance, I've been known for one of my books is titled, Don't Keep Me a Secret. I didn't invent the phrase, but I popularized it. And it's a great, cute, fun little thing. It never hurts a relationship. And it starts to enter the idea, the notion, not the expectation, but the notion into the relationship. And then the language of asking and how to do that without being pushy and without being aggressive. And yes, there's a way to do it without pushing, without begging. Then the language of concerns and objections. How do we deal with those in a way? Can we change their mind? Can we reframe their thinking? Do we just back off? And then finally, the language of the actual introduction. So you take the willingness that a client or a center of influence may have to introduce you into an actual introduction and the mechanics of what makes that happen. So that's the essence of the book for sure.
So we don't have time to go through all six, but there's two that I really want to focus on, because as you were not guilty of this, but I remember it was either Chet Holmes, The Ultimate Sales Machine, or was another one of the books. Yeah, it might have actually been part of the cold call cowboy system. I'm really dating myself there.
Cowboy. Really, yeah. Oh, man, you are dating yourself. You know where he got what he deserved, by the way. Yeah, anonymity.
I'm sorry that I just spoke those words back into existence. But one of the things that used to happen is, you know, you would grab a piece of paper and grab a pen and said, who are your five closest work associates? Who are your five? And so it was very aggressive. It was very focused and it was very pushy. It worked for some people, but that's not how you teach all of this. So here's what I want to do. I want to go through some of the language of the ask. And I want to, and this is, you and I haven't done this before, the objections. So that's a fascinating component of this book, because I think I've read everything you've ever written. I don't remember you really addressing that to the level that I think you're addressing it in this. So would you mind, let's go through some stuff here about how to ask in a way that doesn't come across as, who are your five closest work associates, or what can I do to get you in this car today?
Yeah, your pen or mine. So I teach what I call the VIPS method. A lot of folks who know me forever call it VIPS. And real quick, V is the value discussion. I is treat it with importance. P is permission to brainstorm. And S is suggest names and categories. So V, value discussion, very quick. That's a check-in that we do along the way with prospects and clients to make sure they're seeing the value in the work. So you want some language? Here's some language. Someone decides to do business with you. They decide to do a financial plan, or they decide to go into underwriting for life insurance, or whatever that work might look like. Matt, you made a great decision, I must say, and I respect it. I appreciate it. And I know you had a lot of choices and there's a lot of things we talked about. I'm just curious, what tipped the scales? What solidified the decision for you? And so you're going to reflect back on the decision. It will cement the value for you and your decision. And then I'm taking that in and I'm seeing you're seeing the value. And the next step from that could be the promoting of introductions or the actual asking of introductions. Treating with importance, a lot of ways to treat it with importance. One simple way is say, Matt, I'm glad you're seeing the value. I'm glad we got a happy client. So far, so good. I got an important question to ask you. Could be as simple as that. There's other ways to do it. Then the permission. This is what's missing from a lot of the old schools. A lot of the old school ways were assumptive.
Oh, yeah.
Very assumptive. They call it the affirmative. It's like, have you found value in today's meeting? Yeah, great. Who do you know? Or who are your closest friends? Or that's where you're being assumptive. You're expecting, when that starts to irritate people. However, what we really want to do is we want to see if this person is open to the conversation. We know that some people will be and some people won't. We found that just seeing if they're open to it tends to open more people up, because we're just not pushing them into something they don't want to do. So that's why it's the permission to brainstorm, permission to explore. And then the last one I've really been harping on a lot lately is that suggest names and categories. Now, the category could be those five closest people at work. I wouldn't personally start with that, but at least what we're trying to do there, it was trying to narrow the focus. The worst way to do it, Matt, is to say, who can you think of who should know about the work we do, or who else can we help? Look, I suppose it's better than nothing. Lightning does strike. It does occasionally produce a result, but most of the time it fizzles. So it's not really the most effective language. So that's a sense of the VIPS.
Let's talk, you and I have talked about niche marketing forever. I think we probably run that into everybody's brains to the point now where they're probably rather frustrated that we are still talking about it, but
I hope not either.
But that's where, after you solidified your value, then you can say, I would love to work with more people like you. Do you have anybody else who's sitting around you who's in a very similar situation? Again, I think there's a feel difference there. And the other thing, Bill, and you and I have talked about this since you were one of the first people I brought with then was Top Advisor Marketing this idea to, and I quote you on this all the time, and you probably don't even remember saying this, that, Matt, it's easier to refer somebody to a podcast than it is to say, call my guy. Because here's the deal. People don't want to be sold to anymore. They want to buy from you. And what I'm hearing in the VIPS system there is you're giving them the opportunity to opt in, for lack of a better description, to want to give you that referral.
Yes. People have said to me, Bill, aren't you giving them a chance to say no? Yes, I am giving them a chance to say no, because I don't want to go down a path that's uncomfortable. Now, we'll get into the objections, concerns in a minute, but so sometimes we can adjust our thinking and sometimes we just have to back off and live to perhaps do it another day. So yeah, that's it. You, no one, the difference between being sold and buy, that whole distinction you just made, it's no one wants to be forced, pushed, or tricked or railroaded into something they don't want to do. That's all. Nothing wrong with sales. Sales is helping people make a good buying decision, right? And the words can make a difference. I really do believe that. It's another thing on the word referrals, by the way. For some people, the word referrals has a negative connotation for some advisors and agents and for some clients. So that's another reason to opt towards introductions. So you may not feed into that negative perception that some people may have.
All right, objections. So you get somebody who says to you, no. How great would it be if it was that simple? It's not.
Not always. No, you get a lot of no's disguised as maybes. Like, I'll think about it. Give me your cards.
So I like that one. Let's do the last one there, which is, just give me some information. I'll hand it out.
Are we role playing?
Well, if you don't mind, I know that's kind of putting you on the spot.
I've done this a few times. Give me some information.
Yeah, give me some information.
I'd be happy to do that. I'm curious. Do you have a few folks in mind to which you'd like to give this information? Or is it just if someone says, hey, you like your advisor, you'll have something on hand?
All right, next one.
but that's the essence of what you're trying to do first.
Keep going, Bill.
Here's the important thing about any objection. Any objection from anyone in your life, anywhere, ever, with one exception, teenagers. There's nothing that, with teenagers, a good solid reasoning won't aggravate further. Bada boom. So my formula is this. My formula is acknowledge and explore. Those are the first two steps. So your job, when you get an objection, a concern, some reluctance, whatever word you want to put to it, is to understand it. Where are they coming from? What's behind that? There's usually, some people call it the objection behind the objection or the reason for the objection. There's lots of language around this we could play around with, but in essence is you want to know why they're saying that, right? So in this case, someone says, well, give me some information. Now that could be, it could be a no disguised as a maybe, right? We get a lot of that, especially in this introduction stuff, but you may actually have some folks and that's how you'd like to handle it. And I don't want to assume either way, because if I assume one way or the other, I could be wrong and it could mess things up. So I want to learn. So if you say, I want to talk to them first, I'd say, I appreciate that. I know a lot of people like to be very careful about that. And I appreciate that. Are you concerned how they'll react? Or can we chat a little bit about that? So the conversation is a successful one. Now, the reframe, which is the next step, is let's say you want to talk to someone first, but you didn't realize that you might be able to introduce me with an email handshake and say, hey, Laura, meet Bill, Bill, meet Laura, right? You didn't know that. You thought that if I'm asking for introductions, it means I want names and phone numbers. I'm going to call these people and bug them and make you regret it. So that's the exploring. That's the learning. What's the perspective? Have they had a bad experience around this? Look, Matt, I don't teach a heavy-handed approach to this. You can't, because these are your clients. These are your prospects. These are your centers of influence. You can't hurt the relationship. So then you got to be able to back off gracefully, professionally, and if you can't reframe the thinking. And then you live to do another day. And one more quick point. I'm sure just about everybody watching, listening to this has had this happen. You've asked the client for the possibility of referrals or introductions. Didn't work out for whatever reason. And 2, 3, 4 weeks later, they say, hey, I got somebody for you. They want to do it on their terms when they feel most comfortable and they see the connection. So the worst thing that happens when you ask is you plant the seed, you encourage for future. It's building that culture I mentioned.
And I really like that. And this is one of the reasons why we believe that content marketing, and I know you believe because you're a hell of a content creator, that just keeps you so top of mind that when you have this process and then another piece of information comes out, they're like, I'm thinking about this Bill guy again. And I know somebody. All right. One more that I hear a lot, which is, I don't know anybody.
I'm sorry, Matt. Would you like me to introduce you to some friends? Or sorry, I'm being a little flippant with you because we're all buddies. But yeah, so if someone's, so here's the way to prevent that. That comes.
Yeah. Okay. That's where I was hoping you would go. Okay. Right. Go.
That comes back to the S in the VIPS, which is to suggest names and categories. In other words, come prepared. Let them know you've come prepared. You can even create curiosity with that. So it could sound something like, Hey, Matt, I'm hoping we could put our heads together for a minute and identify a few folks you think should at least be aware of the work I do. I've got a couple people in mind, people you've actually mentioned last time we met, right? Or I could say, I've got a couple categories of people we do some very important work for. In fact, you're in one of those categories. Can I run them by you just to see what you think, see what comes up? That's going to prevent I can't think of anybody. So if you do your job and you come prepared and maybe create a little fun curiosity along the way, you won't get that objection. That only comes when you haven't done your job and asking in the appropriate way. Now, so if someone does say that, someone says, well, I don't know anybody. So I would probably, knowing me, I would probably have a little fun. And I'd say, Matt, I appreciate that. I know you know people, right? You're a pretty popular guy. And so what you're really saying to me, tell me if this is accurate, that you're just not sure you know anyone who needs what I do or that you'd feel comfortable introducing me to. Help me understand. These are good ways. Help me understand. One of the power phrases I like. Another power phrase is tell me more. Whenever you say to someone, tell me more, they're probably going to tell you more, right? And then you'll learn. And then you're thinking and learning at the same time, and you can come up with a next step.
We could spend with that explanation. We could spend an entire just deconstructing the philosophical and influential underpinnings of that language. And I'm not going to bore the audience with that today. Yes, I know. And so that's the thing, everybody. I just want everybody to understand. So this is, Bill has been doing this for so long. I'm not saying you're old, even though, you know, you're getting up there, dude. The fact that all of this is actually based in not just practical application, but real research behind it. And these aren't just ideas that you, because that, in if our audience doesn't know you, that's one of the things I've always loved about you, is that you're kind of a wonk when it comes to research on this, because you really want to make sure that what you're saying is actually produced with some relevance.
Yeah, there's some brain science behind it. There's some psychology behind it. And then it's in the field tested for 30 years. I've been doing this with advisors, coaching them, interviewing them for my podcast, you name it. I've been around this for so long. There isn't much that I haven't heard. Every now and then I'll be doing a in-person session for a firm and somebody will come up with, what if they say this? But there, it's pretty rare that I hear that. I usually have some language to help. And the key thing, by the way, if you ever do get questions from anybody, you just say, tell me more. Yeah, put a little more meat on the bone on that question, will you? And then it gives you time to think a little bit for some coherent answer.
I absolutely love that. There are some of those listening, questioning, interviewing techniques that really do help get people to see themselves and to feel heard, right? Which is really, really, really powerful. All right. So here's the thing. What question should I have asked you that I didn't about the new book?
You could have asked me, Bill, if all this stuff about introductions, 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 why'd you call it The Language of Referrals? I mean, what's up with that? Right? All right. So here's the deal. Right. And this is an important marketing lesson, by the way, for everybody here. One of the first rules of marketing is when you're thinking what you're going to say, writing your copy, whatever, however you're going to convey it, you want to use words, phrases, concepts that are already in the brain of the audience, the listener to your message, whether it's verbally or written. And so if I called this The Language of Introductions, I'd get a little bit of tilt of the head. I'm not quite sure I know what that means. But when I use the word referrals, everybody gets it. And then I make the case. So it's important for everybody, if you're introducing a new concept, if you've named your process something that is cute but isn't readily understandable, if you say you're a fiduciary, which most people don't know what that is, anytime you use a term, a word, you better have an immediate explanation of that. So my book, Radical Relevance, okay? Now, that is a little tilt of the head. What is that? So I made sure that I had a subtitle that lays it on the line. This is exactly what this is about. So that's just a marketing concept. And people will say, language of referrals. Okay, I get that. The words, the scripts people use. Okay. And then in the book, I make the case for why we should use and consider the language of introductions.
If somebody wants to reach out, Bill, and learn more about the book, about hiring you, about getting you to be a speaker, all of, by the way, we have a, you are a hell of a speaker, dude. And I know that you're doing a lot of stuff. Actually, are you speaking a lot? I probably should, because you said you kind of retired. Yeah, I didn't know if that was something you slowed down on.
Yeah, I tried. I'm not good at retirement. I did play more golf, and I will when the season changes. So yeah, I'm speaking. I love doing keynotes and workshops and sessions. A lot of virtual, love doing virtual. Got that act down pretty well too. First of all, for the book, languageofreferrals.com, languageofreferrals.com. And then referralcoach.com. Or if you go to referralcoach.com/resources, there's a bunch of free resources for you there. And I say they're free, but they're still valuable, even though they're free.
Okay, so we're going to make sure that we have all of this in the show notes. And just once again, not only have you been a 5-time repeat guest on the show, but you also have a course in our academy that is titled 8 Steps to Becoming Super Referrable with Your Ideal Client with Bill Kate. So listen, if you would like, which we would love, join the Pod Rocket Academy. Now, this is actually in the paid version. Please go ahead and join the academy. You can take Bill's course. That's fantastic. I was wondering if that was actually going to come up.
The other side is for you.
Yes, so. I should probably have gotten that more this time. All right, everybody, join the Pod Rocket Academy. We'd absolutely love for you to be there. Please, please, please. Oh, and your podcast. We need to pitch your podcast. So tell everybody about your show.
It might confuse people now, right? Because yours is Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. Mine is Top Advisor Podcast. And if you search, you probably, both of us probably show up.
Oh, we so do. Love that, by the way. So
and guys, gals listening, I didn't realize that Matt's podcast was Top Advisor Podcast, Top Advisor Marketing Podcast, because when you shifted from Top Advisor Marketing to Proudmouth, which should have been Loudmouth, but Proudmouth, I thought you were shifting everything to that. And I go, okay, good, a clear path. I can do Top Advisor. But it turns out, no. So yeah, we go on each other's coattails. We're friends. It's a big country. It's a big universe. There's lots of opportunity. And my attitude is competition is for the competent. So I'd rather work with folks, and we're not really competitors. Yeah, we maybe compete for other people's time and dollars occasionally, but nah, it's lots of opportunity for all of us.
It's more than enough to go around. And so it's really funny. So when you had launched your show, Kirk was like, what's going on? I was like, what do you mean what's going on? This is so good for us, right? Because somebody types in Top Advisor, we're going to come up. Bill's going to come. We both win. Rising tide lifts all boats. And honestly, I have had people who say, wait, you're not Bill Cates. No, I'm not Bill Cates, but I'm glad you're listening to his show.
And it's pretty dang obvious.
All right, brother. Listen, I appreciate you as always. Thank you very much for being such a good friend and mentor to me personally. I'm eternally grateful for everything that you've done for us and for Proudmouth. Thank you very much for doing a great, great podcast, the Top Advisor Podcast. And of course, I want to make sure everybody goes ahead and gets the book. So everybody, listen, please, please, please check out the show notes and get all the links in the show notes. But for Bill and all of us here at Proudmouth, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Thanks for listening to the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast brought to you by Proudmouth. If you want to know more about how you can be your own loud, visit us at proudmouth.com and sign up for the Pod Rocket Academy. Through courses and office hours led by professional podcast producers and digital marketers, you will learn everything you need to know to become the trusted subject matter expert you were meant to be.